Saturday View on Midlands 183. Have your say. Call 0818 300 183. Text or WhatsApp your Saturday View to 083 3010 183.
And a very good morning. It's Ronan Berry here again. You're welcome to Saturday View, the show on Midlands 103, where you get to have your view on matters that are pressing, topical, controversial, whatever it might be. Get in touch with us and you know how to do so. 083 3010 103, the text and WhatsApp number. Send a text message, send a voice message, or you can call us here at the station. Give Nelly a call on 0818 300 103. Get your opinion across, get your view across, because I have a nice meaty topic for us to tuck into to this afternoon or to this morning. Later in the show, you'll be meeting a local author who's putting a call out to you, looking for stories, pictures and recollections and stories that maybe have been passed down to you as well from around 100 years ago. So, and you know, in the last couple of years, we've been marking, you know, the years of centenaries all to go back to the War of Independence, the Civil War and even the First World War. So that author will be in later on to look for your stories and help you get involved in the new book that he is putting together. He's a number of books published before, and this is the kind of culmination of years of research. And again, he's looking for your input into that. But one of the big things we're going to talk about today is grey matters, navigating age and politics, work and in the bedroom. And I want to hear your thoughts on this as well, because this was something that came to mind during the week when I saw a tweet, believe it or not, about somebody pointed out how Joe Biden is regularly kind of criticised for being 81 years of age, and his capacity to be President of America, his capability to be in office, is routinely criticised and often, you know, is subject to nasty comments online. The same criticism is never levelled at Donald Trump, who, as we know, is probably the most likely contender from the Republican Party for the presidency. Donald Trump is only 4 years younger than Joe Biden. So it begs the question, you know, at what point are we not suitable anymore? Or is that a conversation that we have to stop having? Because people are living longer, they're living healthier lives. And we know now the pension age is increasing. People are being encouraged to stay longer in work. Even most recently, the Gardaí have extended the age to which you can apply to be a Garda up to 50. Now, bear in mind, for a long time, 50 was an age where a lot of people in civil service were probably casting their mind towards retiring. So why should we put barriers in front of somebody just because of age? We think of people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who continued to serve as Supreme Court Justice in the States right up on into her late 80s and possibly even 90s as well. I think the current Pope is somewhere like 87, which also begs the question, if somebody's not or considered not suitable for work, maybe after the age of 55 or 60, why do we put people of that age into senior leadership positions? So I want to hear your thoughts and your views on this as well. One texter has already been in touch to say that he doesn't know about age being a barrier, but he said, I wouldn't fancy being a 90-year-old bus driver, and even less so being driven by one. So that's maybe a fair point. But why? What's wrong with having a bus driver who might be 90 if they are competent, if they can show that they're a good driver? They may even be much safer than a driver 50 years their junior or 40 years or even 60 years their junior. And that's actually a really interesting text, because later on we'll have a driving instructor on to talk about the driving test and drivers over the age of whatever we want to call it, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and look at why they should be allowed to stay on the road and what the actual testing regime is at the minute. And as I said, and I mentioned at the start here, we're going to get a little mention of Glen Rowe. Maybe even Mrs. Brown's buys into this conversation too. And this was sparked by something else I came across last week. So we're going to look at age and the bedroom too. And yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on this one. You know, is there a point where people should stop doing you know what? You know, because there's an assumption out there that it stops at a certain age. And I want to hear if you've had stories from parents, from grandparents that make you cringe, because come on, as a nation, as a people, we cringe at these conversations. And this goes back a long time as well. So as Irish people, as people in the Midlands, do we avoid those conversations with our own children, with our own parents and whatever else? So looking forward to talking into that later on and seeing, you know, should we ban the word retirement because there should be no such thing? What's stopping you keeping going at all aspects of your life right into your 80s, 90s or even over 100 as well? Anyway, coming back to that very shortly. Before that, I want to introduce you to three wonderful people who have come all the way over today from Port Arlington to talk us about a wonderful event that's taking place the weekend after next. And it'll be St. Bridget's weekend, of course. It's a new bank holiday that came into place last year. I think many of us still have kind of forgotten that it's actually there, but it's taking place 2 weeks' time. You might have heard them giggling in the background there when I was talking about all matters in the bedroom. We'll come back for your opinion on that a little bit later. But I would love to introduce you to Muireann Ní Conaill. She's the Arts Officer for Laois County Council. And I'm joined by two members of Port Arts Collective as well, Leonie Connellan and Sinead Dempsey. Very good morning, everybody.
Hi, good morning.
No opinions on that. No age, yeah, bedroom,
I
driving.
Think you're the oldest person is, though, that's still at it.
Well, if that old person is still living there, Sinead is putting a call out, maybe dropping Ellie a call there. We'll bring you on air and talk about that. No, good morning. You're all here to talk to us about Breed Fuinn's Fair. It's a free Bridget-inspired arts event. There's five events taking place nationally, the first of which is taking place in Port Arlington. Muireann, I'll go to you as Arts Officer of Laois County Council first. Tell us a bit more about the event.
Okay, thank you very much. Delighted to be here this morning. Breed Fuinn's Fair is a free event that's taking place on Thursday, the 1st of February, which is officially St. Bridget's Day. And it is to mark the special day that we have. And it's the first of five initiatives that are taking place countrywide, marking this programme pop events. So it's outdoor performances, it's promoting, we're promoting outdoor performances. And the whole idea of reducing impact on the environment, encouraging people to bring along their own keep cups and sustainable items, and disposing of things in a responsible way. But what we're doing is we're bringing together a wealth and a beautiful selection of arts over the course of 4 hours in the Market Square in Port Arlington. So this is the first of the events taking place on the 1st of February from 4 until 8. And then there's the other events are taking place in Tralee. It's the Isle of Geese. In Tralee, that's on the 2nd of March. It's a Youth Mental Health Awareness Day. Summer Park in Roscommon on the 20th of April. That's World Circus Day. And in Cork, in Elizabeth Fort, there's the Cork World Book Festival taking place on the 28th of April. And then National Drawing Day in Tipperary Town on the 18th of May. So these are done in partnership with all the county councils, and we're very grateful for funding from the Arts Council of Ireland as well, and the local authorities. Those five local authorities are rolling it out. So to look at our particular event, we've called our event Breed Fuinn's Fair, because breed in the outdoors or under the sky, and that's what we're focusing on today. And it is drawing inspiration from Bridget as a triple goddess of healing, fire and poetry. And we our event includes appearances by the leading Irish poets Anne Egan, Laura Murphy and Enda Wiley. And interestingly enough, Laura Murphy was one of the people who was responsible for ensuring that we start to celebrate our matron saint, St. Bridget, and drawing attention to it with the days, the bank holiday on the 1st of February, because she was one of the advocates for that. And she featured very strongly in a TV programme on RTE last year about Bridget and the importance of Bridget in our country. And of course, all that she means to us.
Someone just got a text there to say, I heard you on the radio already. I suppose we'll go to the Port Arts Collective as well. But Leonie and Sinead, you're members of that as well. Can someone just give us a quick introduction to it and tell us about your members?
Yeah, the Port Arts Collective started in 2021. A group of us got together to see if there was more people out there, artists, musicians. So yeah, we all got together. We've grown over the years. We've over 100 members and we've had events supported by the Arts Council. We started in 2021, had an outdoor event, which was very successful, and then approached Philip of Forest Fest to see if we could organise an arts area at Forest Fest. So yeah, the last 2 years we've had the Forest Edge, which has arts, crafts, music, street art, loads of entertainment over the weekend, interactive for adults and kids. And yeah, we're just going stronger and stronger. We have open mics that are on once a month. We have a Brat Breed group that upcycles scarves. We have a full moon event. We have recently started a podcast. And yeah, we're doing loads of things. Yeah. So we're always open to new members, anybody out there that wants to get involved. And yeah.
Fantastic. And Leonie, what was it about Bridget maybe that is so much significance for yourselves, and particularly with this event coming up?
Well, Sinead mentioned the Brat Breeder there. So that was something that was started by Rita from our group, which is weaving, embroidering Bridget scarves. So like healing scarves. So that's been a big focus of the art collective, I think. And Rita goes around a lot of festivals and things, and she'll be at this festival, I believe, or somebody will be there doing the Brat Breeders. And I think with this festival in particular, we're giving it sort of a very female focus. So all the bands are female, a lot of the crafts and arts inside in the Procall Hall are female. So it's just giving that sort of energy, I guess.
We'll have the female Minot Collective doing spray paint around the Market Square as well on the night, which would be quite nice. Nice to have a group of six females doing the art.
Yeah, that'll be pretty wild. Pretty
epic, yeah, interesting. In Market Square, so is it on a temporary structure then? Because I know the old houses can...
Well, we're lucky that the square garage, the Market Square, is getting regenerated over the next few years. So there is hoarding up, which is a perfect area to do all that.
It's kind of organised vandalism No, it sounds really interesting too, and I can understand why the likes of the council would get behind this as well, because it certainly seems like, you know, Bridget, she has a huge reputation, a great historical part of Ireland. She's finally getting the recognition maybe that she deserves.
Yeah, true, definitely, yeah.
And we've had great fun with Anne Egan, the poet, has been working with fourth class in the Presentation School, National School in Port Arrington. So we'll have 25 child poets coming along to recite their spoken word pieces and poems on the day, which is really exciting. We're also going to display those publicly for people to enjoy, even following the event on the 1st. But it's very important that audiences come along and join with us to celebrate, because it's all free. It'll be a great source for excitement. What a better way to come out of the darkness of winter into the first day of spring and enjoy all the delights in creativity that'll be available free of charge for everybody to enjoy. So wander around, get into the frame of mind of, you know, nice bank holiday weekend coming up.
And our last event for the night as well will be a big fire show, which should be pretty spectacular in the dark.
It is, and as well as it is, you mentioned about the coming of spring, you know, you can see already the days are getting that little bit longer. We're nearly through January, and it's a great way to start it too. And we mentioned like the regeneration of the square in Port Arlington, and with events like this, Port is really kind of, It's been transformed over the last couple of years. There's some great stuff happening over there. Are you sensing that yourselves?
Oh, yeah, you can feel it. Yeah, definitely. Well, even like Leonie, have to say it. She moved to Port Arrington because of the Port Art Collective.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Yeah. Port has some fantastic businesses, great people, great coffee shops. You know, and you've got like the Sullis there, you've got
Hummingbird.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the name, Gillian and Ronan Tracy as well.
There's a beautiful mural already on the cinema there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the lake as well, actually. You know,
yes, the Derry Ounce. Yeah, like thing. Again, you know, it's great. And I think with everything, like, you know, there's so many opportunities for our regional towns and villages and areas, but it needs the people to get behind them and create the events.
And then even like for Port Arrington, it has a good train system. So like, you know, if you don't live in the area, you can still get a good train and... They run all
come
day.
For the evening, and I mean the train service, there's so many going through, like on every half hour through to Port to Dublin or out to Galway, the West, Tullamore. So people could pop up for the evening and enjoy the events. There's a very nice poetry event happening in the pharmacy, Mullally's pharmacy. Enda Wiley will be offering 10-minute poetry SOS sessions, selecting and prescribing a vital signs poem which participants can bring home and read at their leisure. So that's a Poetry Ireland event. Also the live painting demonstration from visual artist Rebecca Deegan, and a making of a willow belt by Jerry Smith, and spinning and weaving demonstration from Crafty Dreams. Mm-hmm. And the music is just going to be fantastic. We've the female-led musicians, Brinda Irani, and Crime Star, plus the Port Arlington Ukrainian Choir and Music Generation Leash and the Port Arlington Concert Band on the outdoor stage. And then, of course, you mentioned the magnificent outdoor street painting jam from Manaw Collective. And then to conclude with the evening, we have Broken Theatre with their stunning fire performance alongside the poet Laura Murphy, whom I mentioned earlier.
Fantastic. And that's all taking place on St. Bridget's Day, Thursday the 1st of February, 4 to 8pm, Market Square, Port Arlington. Muireann, Leone and Sinead, thank you so much for coming this evening and all the very best. It sounds like a fantastic event and really looking forward to that. And if I get an answer to that question, Sinead, we'll come back to you with it later on. Anyway, time now for a short break. After that, we'll tug into that topic of why age. Should it be a barrier? Should it not be a barrier? And what difference does it make if somebody can do a job or do a perform a role or a function perfectly? People are texting in as well. Somebody says, what about the young people coming up? Do they have to sit at home until the elderly retire at 80 or 90? We need young people to run our country, or do they stay in college until the 20s, 30s, 40s? Interesting point. But there's a job shortage, like there's a skills shortage out there. We're at full employment. We need people to come on to work as well. So why not let people work longer than 89? If you can do the job, why not stay doing it as well? Keep those texts rolling in. 083 3010 103, text and WhatsApp number, or give us a call here, 0818 300 103. And we'll talk into that after this quick break.
Saturday View on Midlands 103.
Oh, you are getting in touch. Thank you so much. Keep those texts rolling in. Somebody said, you know, Bernard has texted in and said that 50 is definitely too old to be joining the Guards. He said that they have to train and it takes 2 years, but he said he has a problem with people driving, or I don't know whether he said no should be missing there, but whether he has a problem with people driving over 70 or 75. I think he's suggesting he doesn't. He's saying that 50 is too old to join the Guards. But I suppose let's look at that in context. We often hear about how Gardaí spend so long working on, say, paperwork and stuff that, you know, lay members of the Gardaí could do. So, like, not only can there be a physical role there, like, and what is preventing somebody from over 50 going on the beat or driving a car? And what somebody in their 60s, 70s? I mean, surely there is a policing job we can do if we consider we're aging as a community. There's going to be, you know, more older people in Ireland in maybe 20, 30 years time. So why not have a police force that matches that? So these are the questions that we need to look at. Why are we constantly putting that pressure on young people? Somebody could go and actually have a good career for 40 years in an industry and then maybe do 15 years as a Garda. Like, why not? What would be wrong with that? We're living longer. We're always looking for people. We're always talking about shortages of people across critical services like the emergency service. So what is preventing that, and why would that be a problem? Loads of people saying that they've no problem with people driving in their 70s, 80s or above as well. And like I say, we'll have a drive instructor on in a few minutes just to look into that a little bit deeper. But to begin, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who'd be very familiar to people around the Midlands, and indeed has travelled across the world in a voluntary capacity in Africa and even in Haiti at one point as well. But Molly Buckley is a former councillor for Offaly County Council and indeed Tullamore Town Council as well. And somebody who, I think, does not know the word retirement. It does not feature in her vocabulary because she continues to do huge work in her local community and often unseen, regularly celebrated, but often unseen, the sheer amount of work that Molly puts in. Very good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Ronan.
Molly, is it fair to say that the word retirement, I think, does not come into your mind
no,
at all?
No, very definitely, Ronan. Like, for instance, now, yesterday, I got up at 5:30. I went to the airport. I went over to Birmingham, visited my brother, who was living on his own, a bit worried about him, for the day. Got back home, got into bed at 2 a.m. this morning. Not a bother. To me now, it's about, you know, a mental attitude towards, and a physical attitude, staying well, but just, you know, not to think of age as most people would say, age is only a number, which it is. You know, I mean, they just keep going, do it, and no reason why we can't. If there are barriers in the environment or society, we try and overcome them. But certainly, I wouldn't believe in retiring, and hopefully I won't be retiring. Because you say, Ronan, I'm involved in a lot, both locally and nationally, and love every minute of it, and feel that I contribute as much now, probably even more now, than I did years ago.
And I suppose the reason I was saying to people at the start of the show, and the reason that this came to mind was, Joe Biden is 81, he'll be 82 when he runs for re-election in the States, and often a lot of comment and pretty much nasty commentary is made,
yes,
about his age, his capacity and his,
yes,
ability to do a job. Donald Trump is only 4 years younger than him. We look at people like Pope Francis, who's now 87, women like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, you know, up until 2020 was serving right in the Supreme Court right until her death, like in well into her 80s or 90s. Even Senator David Norris was on with Will Faulkner during the week. He's stepping down as a senator this time. He'll be 80 by the time he steps down. Yeah. The Gardaí have opened up the age of 50 for recruiting and stuff like that. So what is it, do you think? Is it keeping active? And indeed, why is it still a thing that people are maybe questioning somebody just because of their age without looking at all the other factors?
Yeah, I suppose it's probably historic, Ronan. It's probably the way we thought, used to think. But I think, you know, staying active physically and mentally is so important. And when you look at active retirement groups around the country, and I'm a member of the network of older people, we're connected with the Older Persons Council, with the Offaly County Council and Offaly Local Development Company. I mean, when you see the things that people are doing, women and men, as they get older, and the achievements they're making. And I suppose it's probably the attitude, and I'm trying to think, as when I worked as a public health nurse, did I think of people as old? I probably did, you see. It's probably, I can't say that I probably wasn't guilty of that as well at one stage. But certainly now, being in that category, and I don't see myself in any category, I see myself as fit and able. And most important, Ronan, is the ability to have fun. And I think with all of us at any age, to have plenty of fun and have a, you know, a good attitude to things and a can-do approach. I mean, there's absolutely no reason why we can't do most things. There's probably some things now. I mean, I wouldn't go out and chop down a tree. I'd try it. But, you know, this, I think we can do it. It's about, you know, not letting our minds or our bodies even decide, well, now that's it, I'm done. Because that's probably the worst thing that could happen. Now, I know probably physical illness with some people, it's understandable if they can't do some things. But I think people's attitude and society's attitude is certainly changing. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We do a positive ageing. There's a positive ageing week every year. And for instance, last year we did a Rambling House event, which was absolutely wonderful. We did it in aid of family carers. The year before, we did a fashion show. And, I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. There's no reason why any of us over, when we say over 60 or over 65, couldn't just, you know, get out and strut our stuff. And we did. And we had younger people as well. Like, we're just, it's about everyone together. And it's about enjoying young people. Like, with the Rambling House event, with the young people, with Music Generation playing. And, you know, while the music wasn't, you know, I wondered, would the audience, are older people, mainly, not all older people, but people loved it. And, you know, it's just about enjoying everything and experiencing new things as well.
Keeping active. And I think you mentioned one really important word there, and I know, like, yes, there are circumstances, you say, be illness or injury that maybe might prevent people, but fun, you know. And I think it's so refreshing to hear people say it, because I think all generations have sometimes forgot that fun is an important part of it.
Oh, Ronan, I think it's one of the most important things there is, to have fun, to be lighthearted. Most importantly, and I do it and don't have any problem with it, being able to laugh at yourself, being able to sort of act the agent, for want of a better word.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's so important.
And the importance of it often overlooked. Molly, it's a credit as always. And look, I know for a fact you're going to keep doing what you're doing. And many people are so thankful for that. And thank you for contributing this morning, and talk to you soon. Keep having fun.
Thank you. Lovely talking to you.
Of course, a huge part of an active lifestyle maybe is mobility. So physical mobility, but the ability to actually get around and drive. And funny, loads of you text in about not wanting bus drivers, you know, over 60, 70, 80, 90, are also not wanting people on the roads. But some people are saying that there's absolutely no problem with that. So when it comes to driving and assessing our ability, and again, that question of, like, if you're able to do it and you're competent, why should age be a barrier? I'm delighted to be joined by Joe Wynn, well-known singer from around the Midlands and, of course, the owner of Wynn School of Motoring. Good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Are you? Where's my coffee?
Next question,
Ronan. Joe, I suppose you see it as a driving instructor. I suppose, roughly, what are the... If somebody passes 60, 70, do they have to redo a test? Is there more scrutiny on them, or what's the current state of play on that?
So I actually have people in their
later years taking up to do the driving test. What extra do they have to do? They would have to obviously do the 12 lessons. They'll have to take a driving test. When you reach the age of 71, you can renew your permit for up to 3 years. And from 75 onwards, you get an annual renewal on your driving license or a learner permit, either or. Changes, there was a big proposal earlier this year. It was a kind of a kite-flying exercise to bring in a number of changes. For medical purposes, I completely agree with if you are on certain medication or you suffer from a certain ailment, you must self-inform. And inform your insurance company or inform your GP. People over the age of 70 would have to have for driving public service vehicles. Like, you have people texting about bus drivers now. You wouldn't be comfortable with a bus driver 70. Well, Bus Éireann allow people drive up to the age of 70. But you must also do an annual medical. If your bus driver is going to drive for a school bus, he has to do an annual medical up to 70 years of age.
Well, to put you this way, if you rang for an ambulance in an emergency situation and the operator said, well, actually, the driver of the ambulance is 80, would people turn down that ambulance or would they say, no, just send it anyway? Like, you know, so the context, I think, is always so important on this. There's a report in the Irish Independent, they commented on a report recently where it said older people are not more likely to be involved in car accidents. 1 in 5 say medical report for drivers over 75 is ageist. So there seems to be an opinion out there that, like, why are we doing this? Why are we subjecting people? As you say, there's a lot of self-declaration on it.
Well, we're living longer. The average life expectancy in Ireland is 80.2 years. Self-declaration is obviously going to be a huge thing, and everyone is in favour of that. All professional drivers carry out a CPC every year, have to carry out a CPC. Your truck drivers, your bus drivers, your school bus drivers, they all carry out these CPCs. These are all things that are there to make our roads safer. They're all active parts of making our roads safer. We are living longer. We are going to be working longer. The pension age has gone from 65 to 66. You can defer your statutory pension to the age of 70 if you so wish. And people are naturally wanting to work a little bit longer. Are you going to refuse an ambulance driver who's 80? If you're stuck and you need an ambulance driver, or you need your neighbour who's down the road, if you need somebody to get you places, and this is particularly pertinent for rural Ireland because we serve a rural audience, we don't have the great bus service or the Lewis service that they have in city centres. We need people who are retired from a career to take up the role of school bus drivers or other bus drivers. And they play a very, very valued part in our communities.
Absolutely. And that's it. And I think there's that piece of the rural fabric, that interconnectivity between people and looking at where whatever is. I think with all these things, you have to examine that, like, you know, at what point. You know, why are we still that thing of old? And Molly actually touched on that, you know, she said, at one stage, did I think that, you know, being old was a term? And I remember going back to my school days and thinking a teacher was old, and then discovering, say, at the age I am now in my early 40s, that that teacher was probably about 3 years older than me when they first taught me. And you're kind of going, yet your recollection is they were really old back then, and they were not, like, so it's a funny thing we do. But Molly also mentioned the importance of having fun. So we've struck on a couple of pillars around physical activity, keeping fun, keeping mobile, engagement with people, communications. And this conversation has to go to one place, in the bedroom. And I'm going to play you something, and I want to examine Irish attitudes towards what we're going to talk about, be it sex across different generations, as in, you know, whether they're grandparents, parents, whatever else, you know, young lovers. But I'm going to play you something as well and see, can anybody out there, do you remember what this is and why maybe it was caused, I would say controversy, but it was the talk of the town at one stage many, many years ago. Have a quick listen. It's a short clip, and I'd love to hear your views on this one.
David has no tickles. Oh, you do? Oh, Miley has tickles.
Tickles everywhere. I think everyone has tickles. I bet you have tickles.
I don't.
Mary Sherwin is a psychologist and an NLP practitioner. She's here with me in studio, as is Joe Wynn. Do any of you remember what that was?
Unfortunately, I do. Joe may be a little bit younger.
Joe is denying it.
But as soon as I heard the music, I thought, no homework done on a Sunday night and I have school in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dread and fear, yes.
That's it, yeah. Miley and Fidelma, when Miley Byrne had the affair with Fidelma, I think it was 1997 on Glen Row, it was. And I can remember, I suppose, I was in my teens at the time and it was a big thing, like it was a talk of the country. But was that, Mary, the start of maybe Irish rural people in particular starting to go, yeah, this is a thing that happens and we need to start talking about it? Or did it just make people shut up even more about it?
I don't know. I don't know. First of all, do people talk about it? That's a question maybe to look at anyway. Do people get very uncomfortable when the word sex is brought up or physical activity or whatever you want to talk about it? But it was scandalous at the time. I just remember that people were shocked that Miley, how could he and how would he? And, you know, listening to it there now, you know, the tickling was so tame, you know, compared to some things. But I remember being at home and sitting in the living room and watching Dallas with my parents, and you'd be mortified if JR in his numerous affairs started kissing someone, and suddenly my father would go, oh, I'd love a cup of tea, and I'd have to get up and go out and make a cup of tea just to get me out of the room. So, you know, and everything in those days, like when I was a teenager and growing up, it was all very behind closed doors.
But nowadays, with something like Mrs. Brown's Boys, which in fairness, I'm not a fan. I really respect what Brendan O'Carroll has done. I mean, he's hit ratings records both in England and Ireland and in shows all around the world. But like, I've had families who know the grandparents, the parents, and the kids watch it. Like, has that, I wonder, helped these conversations, or is it just cringe?
I'm curious as to why you chose Mrs. Brown's Boys, and I know nothing about Mrs. Brown's Boys, so I can't really use that. But I know in conversations off air, you had talked about Tommy Tiernan having a dominatrix.
Yeah, what's that? Because my mother, and she's probably listening this morning, last week she was telling us about how the start of Tommy Tiernan, she didn't like this woman that was on, but she kind of seemed to persist in telling us that she was something, I'm not sure what she was. She was dressed in this horrible outfit, and then she said she had toys with her, and I said, what? So I went home and I looked at what it was, and apparently this lady was a dominatrix who spoke quite frankly with Tommy about sex. So I suppose that raised a question, like, why do we still kind of go, like, the what?
Well, I think it's all a spectrum, and I think people's comfort level is on a spectrum. Some people just cringe at the thought of it and even having to even think about it or discuss it even with their partner. That they're awkward conversations that, you know, you may not necessarily want to talk to your partner. Well, actually, when you do that, because the male ego, sorry lads, is quite fragile. So trying to phrase that, come on. So, you know, as a woman, trying to phrase that and trying to encourage her partner to do things that she finds pleasurable is always a tricky kind of quicksand kind of place. So there's that piece where you just shy away from it completely, or you're really open about it. And I think the thing with the whole dom submissive thing is that that's the far end of the spectrum. I think that, you know, that could, you know, I suppose, what's the word? Impact, you know, really, you know, uncomfortably with people, because I, you know, I'm very open about stuff, and I would still be kind of going, really? Like 50 Shades of Grey tried to romanticise all of that, but ultimately 50 Shades of Grey was a story where she was a virgin, she fell in love with this guy, he fell in love with her, so it was this traditional romantic story despite all the other 49 shades that were going on.
Yeah, it was a very big commercial success as well. I suppose, look, we're looking there, like, you know, staying active, being fun, I think parking any sort of blockers or barriers or perceptions we have about age being a barrier. We're clearly seeing with Joe with the driving tests, it is a thing. People are going to be driving longer. Statistically, they're proven to be very safe drivers. Sex is going to be a thing that should be talked about for generations to come.
And I'm sure it changes. I mean, sex will change as you get older as well, because even the physicality of it, you're not going to be able to do things that you might have been able to do when you were younger. So that's worth keeping in mind as well.
Yeah. Or maybe you didn't do them when you were younger and you want to do them when you're older. Look, there's loads. Mary said, Joe, I told you shouldn't have come into the studio. You should have just done this on the phone anyway. Folks, time is tight. Thank you so much for coming in as well. And thank you to Molly Buckley for contributing as well. Please keep your texts coming in there, 083 3010 103, or give us a call, 0818 300 103. Give us your opinion. And of course, at the start of the show, Sinead did ask that question around who's the oldest person that might be doing you know what. If it is you in the Midlands, text us in anonymously there, and we'll give you the kudos and the credit you're due. Time for a quick break. After that, the local man who is writing a new book, and he wants your stories from kind of around the time of the War of Independence, Civil War, and the First World War.
Saturday View on Midlands 183.
I'm delighted to be joined in studio now by a local man, and he's an author, Ray Daly, and he's writing a book called 10 Fateful Years, and it'll chart the stories and songs from the revolutionary period. So looking back at that period of War of Independence, Civil War, and even including the First World War, because I suppose, Ray, like a lot of people around the Midlands, have close family links with that period in terms of, you know, military involvement or war, but not just on the Irish side, but also like on the British side, maybe with World War One and stuff. Ray's here with me now because he has a call out and he's looking for your help in terms of adding more to this fantastic book that he's been working on for about 7 years. The manuscript is in front of me now and it's an absolutely thing of beauty. Good morning, Ray.
Hello, Ronan, and thanks very much for having me in here this morning.
Ray, you've written a number of books over the years. What inspired you to go again and start doing the research for this book?
Yeah, well, it goes back to 2016 and the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising. And just in the country at the time, there was powerful emotion about the pride that we had in those who took part in the Rising. And just going back then to March 20th, 2016, local historian Michael Byrne. Michael was given a speech outside the Sinn Féin office when 100 years previous, that office was it was known as the Tullamore incident, where those who were in the Irish Volunteers who were in the office were attacked by the crowd outside who had family members in the British Army. And what happened after was the RIC at the time tried to get into the hall, and when they eventually got into the hall, a scuffle occurred, and Padraig Bracken from Tullamore, he fired a shot over the heads of the RIC, and then he fired another shot which injured Sergeant Ahern. And that incident, from there then, my granduncle, Jack Martin, was in the room at the time. He was only 16. So as such, from that moment and then going forward to the celebrations in Dublin at the time for the 100th anniversary, I just had that penny drop moment, and that I was interested then to find out more about the Irish Volunteers in Tullamore and Offaly. And then on my ma's side then, I had family members who took part in the Great War and who were also in the Boer War. So on both sides of my family, on my ma's side and my father's side, I had both sides who took different parts, but for very proud reasons.
And you're here today as well to tell us that you know so many other people around the Midlands are probably in a similar boat. They've probably got photographs at home, old archival stuff that they may not even have a huge value on.
No.
You'd love people to get in touch with you. I suppose, tell us what you're looking for from people.
Yeah, I'm looking for people. As such, my book is 95% complete now. But right now I'm looking for photos of people... Tullamore and Offaly, who had relatives who either took part in the Great War or who took part in the Irish War of Independence, or certainly from that time, from 1913 to 1923. And if they could, this is such as my call out to anyone, if they'd like to, I'd be very grateful for the use of their photos in the book.
How can people get in touch with you, Ray?
Yeah, well, my email address is raydaly1969@gmail.com. Or I'm sure if they contacted yourselves, you could pass on my phone number.
Yeah, absolutely. One person's texting already saying what a fantastic idea for a book and wishing you all the best for the two. So
brilliant.
I guess if anybody has that photograph at home, it's in an album or there's a newspaper clipping, because it all helps kind of corroborate and sort of, you know, prove or disprove theories that are out there as well.
It.
And really, because I mean, Tullamore had such a fundamental role, obviously, in that in the start of the War of Independence.
Yeah, and I found, Ronan, that when you include the photo with the text, it just brings that page to life.
Yeah.
You can match the image with the person who was there, or a photograph of a certain part of of an area.
And I suppose,
as well,
would it be fair to say, not to be remiss as well, of like, say, footage from the, like, the 50th anniversary in 1966 of the Easter Rising, where you get video footage of some people who were involved, you know. So I think for anybody that's listening, you know, no matter where you are across the Midlands or the country, definitely do that and get in touch with Ray. Ray, it's a phenomenal body of work, and 10 faithful years, and it's going to chart those that period in Irish history, and as you say, from not just the Irish perspective but also the Irish people who went and fought with the British Army, all for very legitimate reasons as well.
Yes.
Ray, thank you so much for coming in. I promised you I wouldn't ask you about sex and I didn't, so I kept my word on
and
that,
you know,
one.
What? And I had so many stories to tell, but there you go.
Good man, Ray. We'll get you back on next week. Listen, thanks to everybody for your text coming in. I've lots more to go through there in terms of people's views on old age and driving and ability for political office and sex and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's been great fun. Be back in the chair next Saturday. We'll do it all again, and who knows what we'll touch into next week. But as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you to everybody who's contributed this morning, to Joe Wynn and to Mary Sherwin and to Molly Buckley. And before that, we had the two ladies from Port Art Collective, Sinead and Leonie, and of course Murray Cunnell as well, from Leash, the arts officer with Leash County Council. It's been a blast. Lorraine McCormick is coming up with Feel Good Saturday after news at 11. Massive thanks to Nelly, as always, manning the phones here and sending through all your messages to me. And I look forward to being back next Saturday and talking about the latest things that are getting you going across the Midlands. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.